We'll pray now as Andrew comes to give God's word to us, that our hearts might be open. We are in a holy place now. Lord, speak. We are listening. Amen.
Fantastic. Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. I hope you've enjoyed the series that we've been doing on Psalms, because I've loved it. I've loved it because there is so much depth and richness that we can draw from these Hebrew poems as we explore and we look into the openness of the lives of individuals as they share, particularly David in this case, as they share in their story through song or through poems. We're looking at Psalm 143 today, and our focus is on mercy. And so I want to read to you Psalm 143. It's going to come up on the screen. It's also on the app as well if you want to follow along with me. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. In your faithfulness and righteousness, come to my relief. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in the darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. I thirst for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, or I will be like those who go down to the pit. Let your mourning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. I just want to pause there for a moment, because verses 8 and 9 are central to this psalm, and I wonder what image goes through your mind when you hear those words, rescue me from my enemies, Lord, for I hide myself in you. Just want to give you a little picture that my wife and I had yesterday as we walked around a lake. We saw this goose, and the goose was there with its little goslings. Most of them were completely hidden because they were under the wing of the mother. They were just hiding there, under there. But there was one that was still wandering around, and he looked so vulnerable because he didn't have the safety of his mother at that point. I feel like that's how God treats us, doesn't he? He hides us under his wings. He gives us that safety net, that safe place to hide from our enemies, knowing that God is in control. Teach me, verse 10, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies, destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. Amen. On the 20th of April this year, my football team, if any of you don't know, you're actually blessed, because I've preached a few times and never mentioned my football team yet. My football team, because it's one of my favourite illustrations, is to talk about Ipswich Town. And Ipswich Town, I'll try not to come across as biased, But Ipswich Town are the greatest team in the world. And we probably did what some people would call the impossible. It is the impossible, but Ipswich did it. So we went from League One, for those of you who don't know, this is amazing. We went from League One to the Championship to the Premier League in two seasons. And so this year, we have played with a League One team in the Premier League. So we have well gone above and beyond what any other normal club could ever possibly do, which shows why we're the greatest team ever. I'm not biased. But it has been a tough season. Oh, sorry, I just wanted to demonstrate that I'm not going to be biased here at all. I think that is perfect. I think that should stay there. But it has been a tough season. It's been a tough season for Ipswich. As you can imagine, being a lowly little Ipswich playing in the Premier League. But we have had some victories. Tottenham. We beat Tottenham. We beat Chelsea. And the list goes on. Actually, it doesn't, really. That's about it. Anyway, on the 20th of April, we played Arsenal. And I have a huge, I'm going to say dislike, because I surely can't use the word hate here. A dislike for Arsenal. It's completely biased and unfair, but I do. And so we're watching the game, and it's at half-time, it's 2-0 to Arsenal. Ipswich have already had a player sent off. That means we're playing 10 against 11. And we have kicked the ball by half-time about 9 times. That was my guess. I could have counted. It wouldn't have been hard. It wasn't good. We weren't good. We were awful. And Arsenal, I hate to say this, but Arsenal were very good. Very good. It was at this point that I cried out from the depths of my soul, Arsenal, have mercy on us. Because we didn't deserve anything. We were awful. And we had nothing to offer. I clearly had nothing to offer. I'm sitting in a front room watching it from a TV. We should have been soundly beaten. We should have been thrashed. And lo, Arsenal did not hear my prayer. They did soundly thrash us. And we were well and truly beaten. But that picture, that image of wanting mercy is that desperation that on a much deeper level, clearly, David, and we're going to draw out this morning in terms of our cry. What is our cry for mercy? What does that look like? And what does that actually mean? That picture there is clearly one of Ipswich. The greatest player in that picture is sitting down at the moment, because that's just who we are, Ipswich Town. Anyway, Psalm 143, I'm going to move that because that's going to be such a distraction for me, if not you. Psalm 143 is a cry from the depths of David's soul on a much more serious level than a game of football. A prayer born out of distress, desperation, and a deep awareness of his need for God's mercy. Like many of us, David faced overwhelming trials. In verse 3, it says his enemies pursued him. His spirit grew faint and his heart was dismayed. I don't know if you ever feel like that, or sometimes you feel like, you know, there's something that you just can't shake off. It keeps coming back. Or if your spirit is just, you feel like you've had enough. You just can't go on. You can't carry on like this. Or your heart's dismayed. Maybe you look at the world around you, as we've been praying for the world today, and you're just in despair. Lord, have mercy. We need your mercy. Yet in his darkest moment, David's darkest moment, in that deep place, He doesn't turn to his own strength. He turns to the mercy of God. You see, mercy is our recognition, is a recognition of our weakness before God. Mercy is an understanding of our fallenness, our sinfulness before a perfect God. Mercy is our hope in times of trouble. Mercy is God holding back from giving us what we deserve. It's not a particularly comfortable place, is it? Because it's exposing us. It's us recognizing our weakness, our fallenness. I'd far rather talk about grace than mercy, because mercy puts us in our rightful place before a perfect God. Our rightful place. But David chooses to cry out for mercy. Verses 1 and 2. The cry for mercy. David begins his plea. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. That word mercy sometimes translated loving kindness. Listen to my cry for loving kindness. He doesn't approach God based on his own righteousness, but acknowledges his unworthiness in humility. It's a humble place to be when we recognize our flawed life in relation to who God is. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one living is righteous before you. Mercy is needed because we're flawed. No one can stand before God based on their own goodness. Like David, we must humbly come, admitting our need for him. I'm reminded of Psalm 103, verse 10, where it says, God's nature is always to have mercy. Always to have mercy. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. God's nature to have mercy. Mercy is not an easy thing to ask for, because it exposes us for who we are. It recognizes our weakness, our failings. But David goes on and he remembers the past. One day I was walking through the corridors of my school and I came across this student who was distressed. In fact, she was banging her head against the lockers and tears were flowing. So I came to this girl and I crouched down and I started chatting with her. And she said, I've messed up. I've really messed up this time. She said, I was in the classroom, which was literally just opposite, and I was messing around with the person next to me, and the teacher told me off. And I shouted back at the teacher, and I swore at the teacher. And then I ran out of the classroom. And I don't know what to do. So I just crouched down by her, and I told her it would be okay. We would work through this. I said, and I'm going to be there, and I'll make sure you are safe. You see, ultimately, what we want is to feel safe or to have that place of safety available to us. Safe to be ourselves, safe to share honestly and openly. God, in his mercy and faithfulness, provides that safe place. And he has done it time and time again. In his distress, David recalls God's past faithfulness. Verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. Remembering God's faithfulness strengthens our faith. When we rehearse how God has shown mercy, we can find hope for today. So I encourage you to be intentional about it. When you're feeling low, when you're desperate for God to show mercy to you in a situation, sit down. Spend an evening just reflecting and remembering when God has shown mercy in the past. Do it with others. Tell stories of God's faithfulness. And there are times where we won't even be able to think of anything. So pick up your Bible. Open it up. Be reminded of how every time God comes through, every time God is faithful. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says, God's mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. What he has done before, he will do again. Remember the mercy of God. And then thirdly, David goes on to pursue mercy. David's prayer intensifies as he seeks God's intervention. Answer me quickly, Lord, he says. Mercy is urgent. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Mercy is daily. Rescue me from my enemies. Teach me to do your will. Mercy is transformative. You see, God's mercy doesn't just rescue us. It doesn't just save us, although that's incredible in itself. It changes us. It transforms us. As we pursue God's mercy, we recognize that it's something we require now. The sooner, the better. David saw that. He pursued it. He longed for it. There's a discomfort that we experience when we're in that place of limbo, isn't there? Where we know we need, we know we've messed up, but we need mercy. So pursue mercy. Look for it. Even though it's tough, even though it's hard. As we pursue God's mercy, we experience its changing power in the safe place of God's loving arms. That student that I was telling you about from earlier, it's not like a traditional classroom. I've got quite an open space in my classroom at school, and students sort of can come at the start of the day and at break times and lunch times, whenever they want, and just feel, you know, if they feel they need somewhere to go. And this girl who'd never been to my room before this moment, she comes to my room every single morning now. She comes to my room and she says, "Hi, Mr. King." Sometimes we have a conversation about what she's going to be doing in the day. Sometimes we play a game. Sometimes we say nothing more than just a hello. But she comes every single day. She's been great. So she's not had any moments where she's felt the need to come to me to confess anything or for me to show mercy, but she still comes. And I think she comes because she knows it's a safe place. I think she comes back again because she knows there's safety there. And I just wonder what safe places we're providing for those around us. Places where people can come and say, "Do you know what? I've messed up. I've got it wrong." Because we all need that safe place, don't we? And so David was also a deliverer of mercy. And we have the opportunity to mirror our merciful God in the way we act towards others, don't we? When mercy has been wronged, the offended one does not make it difficult for the offender to apologize or ask forgiveness. In fact, mercy doesn't wait for the other's action, but forgives so quickly that the person needing forgiveness is freer to ask for it. Likewise, at work, at home, in the classroom, Mercy creates an atmosphere in which a person feels safe enough to admit their mistake or to ask a question. I wonder what our places of work would look like if our colleagues could come and say, do you know what, that project that we're doing, I've messed up. I've got it wrong. Or what our homes would look like when our children can come to us every time and just say, I've blown it again, Dad. I've blown it again, Mum. I've messed up. I think it's so hard for children to find that safe place. May our homes be that safe place for them. That open environment where they can just say sorry. I've got a couple of friends who I might have mentioned before who I meet with regularly to pray and to share. And we have an open, safe space where we talk about anything. And we just have that opportunity to just share where we've messed up, where we've got things wrong, where we've blown it. And it's a place of mercy. It's a place of safety. And I just want to encourage you to make sure you've got those places in your own life, places where you've got people that you can just share with honestly and openly. Mercy makes a habit of giving others the benefit of the doubt. Mercy is not in the habit of sending deadly glares to people who are annoying. Mercy gives charitably, knowing that eventually someone will take advantage of his generosity. Mercy welcomes you, fully aware that this act may disrupt her own plans. Mercy relinquishes control when doing so allows another person to grow and learn. Mercy makes it his business to help others succeed. Let us be people who are merciful to those around us. And David's prayer points forward to the ultimate mercy found in Jesus. On the cross, Jesus took the judgment we deserved so that we might receive the mercy that we could never earn. So if you're weary, cry out to Jesus, like David. If you're guilty, trust in God's mercy, not your own righteousness. If you're hopeless, remember his past faithfulness. We've still got these letters of hope written up or standing up on the side there. And I hope they stay there because I think that's so crucial to our faith, isn't it? So central is that we have a hope. We have a hope, not a wild hope that is just guesswork, but a sure and certain hope. Because we remember the past, and we've seen God's faithfulness before, and we know it's going to happen again. Find your safe place with him today, and run to him. I want to encourage you, if any of this has resonated with you, to do something today. Because as David says in his psalm, he says it with urgency. We do it now. We respond now. It's an urgent prayer for mercy. So I encourage you, we have people who will pray for you at the end of the service. But I encourage you, whether you go for prayer or whether you speak to someone, do it now. Do it today. Find that safe place and pray. Pray for God to be merciful. Just going to invite the band to come up as I close in prayer. Lord, like David, we cry out for your mercy. Forgive us. Deliver us. and lead us in your righteousness. Lord, may we live each day in the light of your steadfast love. In Jesus' name.